Today's guest needs absolutely no introduction whatsoever. Six Junos, Canadian Songwriter Hall of Famer, Order of Canada, one of the first Canadians to go platinum south of the border, Canadian rock royalty, and he's coming back to Edmonton. It is my absolute pleasure to have him on the show today, Mr. Burton Cummings. Dante, and welcome to 89.3 The Raven, Burton.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. Thank you.
Yeah, now first off, my late mom, she's smiling down because, you know, she passed away about 10 years ago, but she was your biggest fan in the 60s onward. We had your entire catalog play in our home and repeat, so it really is an honor to be chatting with you today. So thanks for taking the time to spare a few minutes with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you very much. Very kind words, by the way. Very kind words.
Thank you. I have so many questions in such a little time, so let's start things by asking, when you first started this journey some 55 years ago as a kid from Bannerman Ave in North End, Winnipeg, did you ever think that you would still be here out here cranking out tunes for us?
Well, you know, when you're young like that, you don't, at least I didn't think that far ahead, and I wasn't arrogant enough to foresee the kind of success we had. I mean, you know, everybody thinks it's easy once you've made it, you know, it's all gold records and champagne and money, and it's not, man. I tell you something, before our first big record was These Eyes, and it was huge. Well, let me tell you something. Before These Eyes, I think we had 14 back-to-back singles, all of which failed. We just kept getting up again and trying harder again. But I mean, we went through some miserable, hard times. And what saved us was CBC. CBC gave us a television show for two seasons, and we never had to leave Winnipeg to film the show. And we were paid, you know, we were paid a regular salary, and it saved the band. Otherwise, we would have broken up.
Yeah, we can't even think of what would have, you know, you live in hindsight, so I'm glad it all worked out. A friend of mine, Danny, actually, he lives on Polsom, right across the street from your old school. He took me to visit your old house on Bannerman because I frequent Winnipeg now and then. Do you ever...
So you saw Luxton School.
Yeah, Luxton School too. Do you ever visit certain spots in Winnipeg when you go back just to travel back down memory lane?
Oh, absolutely. I go to Luxton School every time I'm in Winnipeg because I went to that school from kindergarten through grade 9. And those are all your growing up years, you know. That's when you first become aware of the world, and you get to look at the world through your growing up eyes, which are changing every year. I was very fortunate because I hear people talk all the time about how they were always moving, you know, and they had to make new friends. I had the same friends all through school, so I was very lucky that way.
Yeah, great. And those are good memories, you know, to look back on your old teachers, your old friends in Winnipeg. But aside from, of course, tunes like Running Back to Saskatoon, I absolutely love the fact that you call Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, your home now. Would you say the prairies are a big part of who you are?
Oh, the prairies. I missed the prairies when I was living in California for all those years. I missed the changing of the seasons. I remember the first Christmas I spent in Los Angeles, and it was a little bit strange to wake up on Christmas morning, and it was like 82 degrees Fahrenheit, and you would see Christmas lights strung across palm trees. It was it was a little bit strange, but, you know, I will always consider the prairies part of my soul. And I'm in Moose Jaw now, and we had a hell of a winter here. It was brutally cold, and we had snow up until about 10 days ago. we still had snow on the ground in May. I'm not here because I love the snow. I'm here because I really love the changing of the seasons. And Moose Jaw is small. You know, I was in Los Angeles for years, and it's just too big now. When I was in my 20s, it was a different story. I liked it. But, you know, I just turned 75 last New Year's Eve. I'll be 76 this December. I like the small town feel of Moose Jaw, the fact that there's no traffic jams. The air is clean. The skies are blue. Mm-hmm. The clouds are puffy white clouds. You know, I guess I'm starting to sound like an old man, but those are the things that when you get to a certain age, those are the things that mean the most to you.
Yeah. And, you know, you said it so well, you know, because I've been born and raised in Edmonton. And even when I travel for somewhere for any duration of time, I always miss the prairies myself. So I can relate to that. Now you're coming back to the Edmonton area. I was at your show last summer at Together Again. I enjoyed thoroughly. You're playing the River Cree June 8th. And you've played Edmonton countless times since roughly 67 is my guess. Any memories of any memories of Edmonton that stand out particularly in all of those years?
Well, yes, I knew Barry Allen, the singer. He was a fantastic singer.
Yeah.
And he was with Wes Dacus and the Rebels. They were a big deal to me because you know, back then there was very little Canadian music industry. And yet, Wes Dacus and the Rebels, featuring Barry Allen on vocals, they were cutting records. So to me, that was a huge deal. Even to get to talk to somebody who was cutting records, you know. Don't forget, I was just a kid.
Yeah.
When I joined the Guess Who, I was only 17. So to meet people like Barry Allen and Wes Dacus and the Rebels, who had cut records, and I had heard them on the radio. Is that where Klondike Days is?
Yeah, that's where the old Klondike Days is, yeah.
Absolutely. We played Klondike Days several times.
Yeah, and over the years, yeah.
I always have had a soft spot for Edmonton, although I will tell you this, it's the coldest place I've ever been.
It does get quite cold.
Listen, I grew up in Winnipeg. I know what cold is. But we were playing Edmonton one time. It was around the Christmas season, and we were in a hotel, and my hair was very shaggy. I wanted to get a haircut. There was a hair salon, right across the street, literally, right across the street from the hotel. I said to myself, okay, I'm going to go get a haircut today. I walked out, put on my winter coat, walked out the front door of the hotel. I got about a quarter of the way across the street, made a quick U-turn and went back to the hotel. I couldn't even walk across the table. That's how cold it was in Edmonton. So I'll tell you, I know about the cold in Edmonton. But I can also remember the glory days when the Oilers were ruling, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Ruling. The glory days of Wayne Gretzky. Phenomenal power. And wasn't Grant Fuhr the goalie then?
Yeah, yeah, Mark Messier. Those were the heydays, the dynasty years, right?
I mean, I'll tell you, Grant Fuhr was one of the greatest athletes ever. And Wayne Gretzky has said that many times in interviews. I met Grant Fuhr. He came to see me in the Lakehead a couple of years ago. I guess it was Port Arthur, Fort William, which is now called Thunder Bay. And Grant came to the show, and I met him backstage, and I was nervous like a little kid, you know, because he was such a huge star, and I was a goalie, so I appreciate the great goalies, you know. I played a little bit of hockey, but I mean, I was never that good enough to be in the NHL. But my heroes were the goalie, you know, Jacques Plante from the Canadiens, was one of the greatest. Terry Sawchuk from the Detroit Red Wings. Those were my heroes. Gump Worsley was a great goalie, the little guy from the New York Rangers. So I did love the goalies, and I do remember Grant Fuhr very, very well.
Yeah, there's a great Edmonton memory. Something we both have in common is our love for, you know, the roots of rock and roll in the 50s. With your own writing cemented in traditional rock and roll, or I've heard you coin the term straight ahead rock and roll, that you write. What were some of your earliest influences in the 50s that made you want to do what you do today?
Oh, you know what? Bill, I don't even have to hesitate. I can tell you in one sentence, the guy that influenced me the most of anybody was Fats Domino. And here's the thing. He was a singer that played piano, which is what I am.
Yeah.
And I loved the fact that he would stand there pounding the piano. I loved his voice. Listen, I was a little white Anglican kid from the north end of Winnipeg. And I hear this guy talking about, I found my trail on Blueberry Hill, the wind in the willow tree. Yeah, I had never heard anybody speak that way before. To me, it was fascinating. I loved Fats Domino. I also loved Jerry Lee Lewis and Little Richard because they were both piano players.
All of them were piano players, yeah.
And I love the way that Little Richard and Jerry Lee pounded the keys. My piano teacher wasn't crazy about that, but that was what was drawing my attention, were these piano players that were making records, piano players that sang. So, and you know, of course, everybody loved early Elvis, at least I did. And then in 1963 or 64, when the Beatles came along, everything changed.
Mm-hmm. That changed music forever, yeah.
When Randy Bachman and I started writing songs, we wanted to be like Lennon and McCartney, you know, Jagger and Richard and these people that were writing these great rock and roll songs, you know. Well, I was influenced by the best because being 75, I grew up in the heydays of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. And I was talking with Bill Henderson from Chilliwack one time about this, and, you know, you've been writing songs for so long. Do you ever have some of these old songs that are just, you know, songs that you haven't released yet that you've just kind of tinkered with over the years and maybe might be still playing with them 20 years later or anything like that?
I've got at least 50 of them, Bill.
Mm-hmm.
At least 50. And some of them are pretty good that have never been released. I am now gathering up my best songs for a new album. There's going to be a new album, and I'm very happy with the songs. And, you know, if you live long enough, you're going to learn things. And I have way more experience now about life than I did when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So I would hope that the lyrics would be getting better, you know?
Yeah, the experiences, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, listen, Bill, compared to most people, I've lived about 50 lifetimes worth of experiences. You
I
know?
Bet, yeah.
I mean, we took the Canadian flag all over. We took the Canadian flag as our backdrop on stage. We took it to Japan, Australia, New Zealand, England, Germany, Belgium. We went to Hawaii and played 5 or 6 times. We played in every single state and every single province. And we took Canada with us. You know, that was our big deal. We were Canadians and we were the first band that really made some noise, I think, internationally.
You guys literally were. You guys were the band that put Canada on the map for rock and roll. And we, you know, I'm also an artist and a performer, and I, you know, thank you for that, because without the Guess Who and Burton Cummings and all of those years, like, you know, you guys helped form rock and roll in Canada. So thank you for that. While we're on that topic, I know, you know, of course, Randy's still out there cranking out tunes and performing. Chad, I know he's had some health concerns, but I actually had the pleasure of performing on the same stage as you at the 1999 Pan Am Games in Winnipeg, and it was one of the high points of my life, trust me. But do you still stay in touch with the original Guess Who guys, like Jim, Randy, Chad, Gary? Do you guys still chat every now and then or stay in touch at all?
I'm in touch with Bachman because we do some Bachman Cummings shows once in a while, but no, I have absolutely no contact with Peterson and Cale, absolutely none.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
A couple of things I wanted to mention,
yeah,
Bill. I've played the River Cree before, and I absolutely love it. I like the setup. And when we were talking about who established Canada, we cannot forget Gordon Lightfoot.
Absolutely.
Because he was there before any of us, and it was very sad that he recently left. But, you know, I'll tell you, if you're wondering how big an influence was Lightfoot on me, well, you go back to the single, These Eyes, the flip side was a song called Lightfoot that Bachman and I and another guy put together, and it's all about Gordon Lightfoot and his songwriting. And we can't forget Paul Anka either,
yeah,
who was a Canadian, but he left very early. He went to New York and then moved to Rome, I think. I mean, I don't know where Paul Anka is now, But Guyana, his first one, was 1959, one of the first international smash records ever out of Canada. So we cannot forget. I know how kind your words were for the Guess Who, but we cannot forget Gordon Lightfoot and Paul Anka.
Absolutely, and I'm glad that you acknowledge those guys. I did do a tribute for George on my for Gordon on my show the day he passed, and it was a huge loss for Canadian music and just Canadians in general. Even if you weren't a music lover, like, you know, Gordon stood for everything Canadian, much like yourself, which I love. Once again, chatting with the legendary Burton Cummings. He'll be playing the River Cree on June 8th. I want to say thank you so much, Burton. It really was an honor to be able to chat with you, and we can't wait to see you back in the Edmonton area in a few weeks.
Thank you very much.
Take care. Bye-bye.